Let's take a moment just to read God's word together before the young people go out tonight to their children's activities. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 13. Let's hear God's word. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. The children may leave for their children's activities tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit would move amongst us this evening, that we would know that only when you anoint your word that it can penetrate the heart of men and women. May you anoint us as we listen, and anoint it as it goes forth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. People who give their children four or five names are being totally unfair to anyone who carries out or officiates at a marriage ceremony. A list of names can be a complicated thing to read in the middle of those vows. Because I know, and you know, that quite often names are chosen for specific reasons. Quite often a middle name will include a member of the family or extended family, a name that they want to live on to succeeding generations. And that tends to be something that we practice or do. At times, names in the Western culture particularly sound as if they go through trends. We think something or some name sounds well, and we give it to our child. Not that they are going to appreciate that much later in life. Most of us have had no choice in the name that we choose. But in Hebrew culture, we know the significance of those names. God was a name changer. He constantly gave people a different name. Abram. No longer are you going to be called Abram. You're going to be called Abraham. Sarai. No longer am I going to call you Sarai. I will call you Sarah. You're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. You're no longer going to be called Kephas. I'm going to change it from Petra to Petros. You're no longer going to be called Saul. I'm going to call you Paul. He was the one who decided that names should be different, regardless of what a mother or father had decided. God had a different perception. You see, Abram, to call you and to continue to call you that name limits the activity that I want to do in your life. Exalted Father. That's not a title that's going to be sufficient for you. I have greater plans for you. Abram, you're not going to just be someone who looks after this family. I am going to anoint you to be a father to the nations. So your limited, restricted understanding of your role, your duties, your responsibilities, even your name itself, is going to be significantly altered and changed. You're going to be the father of a multitude. That's what Abraham means. You haven't even begun to understand the significance of the name change, but one day you will see why. Sarai, that name means my princess. That's far too local and specific. You're going to become Sarah, princess. Not just a blessing, hopefully, to your immediate family, but to the whole family that's gathered under your care. Jacob, you wrestled with me. Your name means to follow behind. You were caught up in this world of deception and grabbing the heel and all sorts of life circumstances that went on. That's going to alter. I'm going to change your name, Jacob. I'm going to change it to Israel. And Israel means my God prevails. Kephas. And Peter, Petros and Petra, a play on names. You were a small stone, but I'm going to make you a rock. I'm going to make you into something different, someone else. Saul means destroyer. Saul, you are, like that name suggests, a destroyer. And only someone who has power has the capacity to destroy. You bring about destruction in your wake, particularly for the church. You feel that you're dominant, that you can take advantage, that what you say actually will be carried out, even if it's to the expense of the person that you seek to destroy. I'm going to rename you Paul. And Paul means literal small. I'm going to keep you humble. I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh. I'm going to allow you to be a person of grace and humility that relies not on his own strength anymore, but on the strength that I provide. See, God was a name changer. He took a person's life with all its limitations, with all its envisaged purposes and plans, and because he didn't interfere but intervened, he had a very different purpose in mind. Not only that he would become a blessing to that individual, but that that individual would become a blessing to others. He was a God who sought to expand the vision of people by the name change. This isn't about you, it's about me, and it's about them. Does God need to change your name? Are you far too localized like Sarai? Are you far too specific in your concerns? God said, you need to change. And if I'm going to change the name, you've got to change your behavior. Because with every name in Hebrew culture, the character is represented by the name. And only I can change your character. Only I can shape and mold you and transform you and change you into someone that I want you to be. Because I know that when I change your name, you're going to live a life that will be dependent upon me. Why am I saying this? Because I'm going to do a series not on your name, but his. Because our names are always altering and changing. Names become fashionable. They have historic periods of popularity, but they soon fade. Our names have the propensity to become nicknames. We alter them in such a way as to shorten them or give them an entirely different significance. Our names are fluid. But his name never alters. He is God. And not only is this God so wonderful and changeless, but there are a multiplicity of names used to describe him. He doesn't want to be fitted into this little box of one name. He has many. And he reveals himself in many different names that he provides. And if you truly want to follow God, if you truly want to serve him, over the next 10 weeks, we'll begin to look at the way God is described in the names that he introduces. Because he wants to demonstrate to you what his character is like. And you will be grateful when you see each one of those names that God never changes. Because what he seeks to reveal about himself is timeless. It's our puny little minds that are trying to wrestle with the diversity of God. We have such a small picture of who God is. Our cultural expectations, our experiences in life, the teaching that the church gives us, all of these things molded and shaped together can either hinder or help our perception of God. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at God and God only. And I pray that your name changes at the end of that time. You may have perceived yourself as one thing, but God might want you to be someone else, a different type of character as a result. We are influenced by the people that we spend time with. You know, the best friends in your life who have made the best investments, the ones who have encouraged you the most. It hasn't happened overnight. It's happened over time. It is rare that you are changed by a one-off chance encounter. Normally, your life is shaped and molded by those that you journey with. And if you journey with God, over time you will see how all of the names that describe him reveal an aspect of his character that you will have experienced. And it can never be exhausted. You need to focus on him. That's the only way we'll change. The more time that we spend with the person we love, it is more likely that our behavior will alter to be like him. What do you know about God? If God was to say to you tonight, here's a pen and a piece of paper, describe my character. How long would you need for the exam? If you didn't know the material, even under examination pressure at university, you had to stay 45 minutes before you left so that you could do a reset. But you might not have written anything down in the process. And as soon as the examiner would have looked at the paper, he would have known or she would have known that there was really very little to mark. And what did that reveal? That you had a lack of knowledge. You just didn't know. How much do we know about God? And what can we say with consistency or authority about him? If he has given himself certain names, it's because he wants you to know what he can do. Come, each week, find out what he is willing to do. And when we do, we will find out just how much he loves us and he cares for us. when God introduced a name, it was for a specific reason. When God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, or Elohim, or Yahweh, was it that he had a split personality, that he couldn't really discern who he was? No, that the answer was that in each and every of those contexts, he knew that the specific name would reveal something specific about his character that could give confidence to those who were listening, who could give hope to those that were despairing, who could give a sense of power and sustainability to those who were weak, who could give comfort to those who were grieving, who could give adventure to those who were bored with life, to give purpose to those that had lost direction. Each and every one of those names spoke into their life, and it revealed something about his character that they had never considered or reflected upon before. I truly believe that this series of names is given by God so that when we look at our life and reflect upon it, we then must ask, has this God truly changed my name and given it a divine significance and purpose? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we're in the presence of a collective group of people. Many diverse and different names exist within the life of this congregation. And whilst the names may be duplicated between people, behind even those duplicated names is a unique person made in God's image and for a God-specific purpose. There may be people in here tonight that, just like the diversity of names, they would not know how to define themselves. They really don't know what to believe about themselves any longer. They really cannot even describe their own character because it seems so fluid, changing all the time depending on the circumstances that they encounter. Life has been difficult. Maybe they have been buffeted by different circumstances. The joy, the certainty, all has eroded over time. But like the prophets of old and like those that we're going to consider, our future is not based upon us, but you. You taking control of our destiny, you deciding how you can rebuild, refashion, reshape us, how you can take the weak and the vulnerable and the fallen and the broken and remold them into a character that reflects the names of God. We want to be drawn significantly close to you over these next few months, so that we have more confidence not only in the names of God, but what that God has for us to do. That how that God may fashion our character to be more like his. And Lord, we know that only you can make it possible. For we can never totally take control of our lives in a way that will bring honor to you unless aided by the Holy Spirit. And so may the Holy Spirit inspire our hearts to reflect upon you and how you've revealed yourself to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.